Dear Father, we thank you this evening for another time like this to fellowship. Thank you for the influence of your spirit. Thank you for the month that's moving close to another end. Thank you for the growth of your word through us and in us. We ask in this service across all our churches as we hear your word this evening, our minds align with your will in the earth, that no flesh should glory in this meeting, and only your Son Jesus is glorified. Amen. Praise the Lord. You have your seat. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Yet another time for us to fellowship together this evening as leaders. There are meetings in scriptures that have such people in mind. There are congregations like that, that the only people you have in mind are those who have one role or the other to play. You see that consistency? Jesus, for example, in Mark 3:14, called 12 people that they might be with him and might preach the gospel. In Acts of the Apostles again, or before then, the book of Luke tells us that Jesus spent 40 days, Luke 24 first of all, from verse 25 through to about 52. In Acts 1, 2, and 3, said he spent 40 days teaching them and persuading them concerning the kingdom of God. Then we see that consistency again in Acts of the Apostles and chapter 13, where we find in the church at Antioch certain prophets and teachers. It's Acts 13, verse 1 through to 3 and 4. Again, we see Acts 15, where Paul and Barnabas went to Jerusalem to see the apostles so they may consider this matter. Acts 15, verse 5, verse 6, verse 7, verse 8. Notice the congregation was majorly apostles and elders. In Acts 20, where Paul was passing through Miletus and from right, now called for the elders of the church in Ephesus. And he met them and spoke with them, you know, one of the most important texts of scriptures. So we have a consistency where ministers or leaders are focused on. And we have three letters written, four eventually, written only to leadership. First and Second Timothy is to a singular person because he is a pastor. And then you have Titus. Then you now have within the letters written by the apostles. James writes to the elders. Let them call for the elders of the church. For example, he makes that when he speaks in James 2. And says that those who are rich should not be treated more than those who are poor, he's talking to leadership. So every time you find instructions like that, they're talking to leadership. Of course, you have 1 Peter 5, verse 1 to 5, where Peter says, those who are elders amongst you. So he directs it at them. You also have two letters. I should have mentioned that. 2nd and 3rd John were also written to leadership. So look at the amount of information or exclusivity granted leadership. I'll take it again. I said, 1st and 2nd Timothy, Titus are to leadership. Philemon is a leader in the church at Colossae. And you also have, 2nd and 3rd John. And when you find the first two or the second two chapters in Revelation is also to the angel of the church. So you see the consistency there that we must have meetings with those who are responsible for others. Yeah, important. They are important to the plan of God in the earth. And so it's regular. Look at the number of epistles that we have and look at those who are dealing with leadership. They deal with leadership. A good number. Book of Acts also has a lot of meetings that are just leadership. So, a pastor should realize that and have such consistency of meetings, consistency of training. Because ministry is not something that you say you have learned. I say that to many of the students. Some of them I teach them online, some of them offline. And I say to them in Bible schools, not Saints Community Church now. And I say to them that, look, you can finish back. Somebody was telling another person, he said, you know, Pastor Chris signed on my certificate. I saw another person. this was very, very funny one. The fellow asked, I was giving the certificate to someone. So I want to ask the person, he said, is this a diploma? He said, no, master's degree. Master's degree? I said, I don't even have that. At least not in, not in what she's talking about. So you have those kind of ideas. I said, you have passed through this class and that class, and then you are now what? No, you are nothing. You are just passed through a class. There are many classes to pass through. I told them there, I said, that was just last week, some students were there. I said, look, this is just an intro to your real Bible training. Your real Bible training is from now to the end of your life. So, as a leader, the training of ministers is not something you get certificate for. Your certificate awaits you at the end of your life. So if you drop out in the middle, you know, that's it. You are only a dropout. We have many ministerial dropouts. Ministerial dropouts. They start and end up in the flesh. Don't be like that. So if you have the privilege, those who can listen, to me, who have the privilege to go to Bible schools, just know all they have done for you, which is okay, is to give you an introduction into your responsibility. Your study life has now begun on another fresh page. And it's important. With the privilege God has granted me, which I do for some training schools, both here and abroad, and I get to review curriculums, I know that it has to be an ongoing thing, such that if you go to a Bible school in 2020, I mean, this kind of Bible I'm talking about, if you go again 2028, they have advanced in their method of teaching, in their mode of understanding. So you can't lay claim on something you had gotten some 5-8 years ago. Same way, it comes with the walk of the ministry. It's an ongoing thing. I remember some 20 something years ago. Remember, the ministry then said, sir, look at the things you are teaching us. There are so many. He said, sir, can you slow down and just stop studying the word? That's why he said it. For 6 months so that we can catch up with you. Just 6 months. That was like 20 years ago or so, 21. He said, stop for 6 months. What kind of thinking is that? You know, just 6 months. And I was like, sir, with all you have taught me, I know enough for the next 50 years to do ministry so that even if I leave you, I'll continue to labor. I reminded the person a few years ago. I said, you know, he said this. Sir, don't forget this. I said, no. I heard you. I said, I told the person where it was said. I remember, I knew you spoke nonsense. You don't talk like that. That's an attitude of somebody who has stopped being a disciple. You're a student, you're a learner. When you choose a man, a woman, to be your pastor and teacher, it is not a temporary relationship if you are led by God. It's a relationship you will keep learning. You will keep learning. You keep learning. That's why Timothy kept learning. So, ministers must be given consistent refresher courses. Regular, consistent, unbroken teaching. Somebody told me one day, was it us in the 90s? He said, sir, I heard something in Trinidad TV. He said, I've heard it before in the 90s. He said, what is now clear to me? I said two things. I said, that is how the word is. I said, even me, when I was teaching you in the 90s, it's clearer to me too now. Do you get it? So we are, what I was thinking then, even as much as it's the same thing, I myself is better with me now. It's so simple. So you must have that attitude. When I get a hold of the word, like particularly the books, people say often, oh, the books have broken barriers for us, so in nations and ministries. It therefore becomes necessary that you must maintain the standard. I tell that to your pastor, the Lord. I said, look, you cannot change a standard and get the same result. It's a simple thing. I usually use this illustration. My alma mater, very precious to my heart, Government College Ibadan. Somebody said the way he even says Government College is as though it's a university. It's so dear to my heart. In fact, recently, somebody gave the phone to one of my father's very good friends. And then he gave the phone, said, ah, so and so, guess who is with me? A classmate of mine called. Said, guess who I'm with? He mentioned the man. Of course, the man is my dad. I said, I'm shaking. I was shaking. I was wondering, what did I do? Did I do something wrong? So the man got the phone and said, you know what? They all called you here. I said, what? Mr. GCI. Yeah, that's my classmate. Says Mr. Government College. So take it like that. Amen. So I usually look at how things change. Because something I studied. The school that in 1929, through 1940, 1950, people who come from different parts of the world. People who leave colleges in the United Kingdom to come and attend the school. And, you know, it was the best school in West Africa. You can check it in the whole of West Africa. And then what happened? Simple things happened. The very reason why they were exclusively good was changed. That's all. There are some things that people will criticize you for because that's what makes you tick. It's too much doctrine, too much prayer, too much evangelism. Usually, when people don't have something, they criticize it. I've discovered that easily. You know, something. A woman rises in her profession, does well, and then in the hands of people, they say, ah, she must have been sleeping with a man. You to go and sleep. Let's see how it goes. Also, somebody was, in Baradeh, we had this Akara rush here in the 80s. You will see people in their suits going after Akara. Akara is bean cake. You know, somebody said, did you see what she's putting, the man is putting there? Say what? Blood. The people's blood are being used to fry it. I said, Don't you know how blood tastes? This is not blood. This is Akara. Why are we so, we're so, we so beef. Some people's beef are like cows. A man is succeeding, he must have been doing something. A man is succeeding, Some people, like Brother Hagee will say, anything they are not up on, they are down on. So, what now happened was simple. Some people that could not get into government college, they decided in 1978, and said, what is special thing about government college? They said, stop giving them special teachers. Stop making it compulsory for boarding house. Stop all the special interviews, special cut-off marks. Stop it! Don't do anything special for government college. Don't say that government college people can come from everywhere. Say, no! Catchment area, Akpata Gaga, Ring Road, They knew what they were doing. They knew what the standard was. Same thing if the devil wants to destroy a ministry. Those basic things you think. Let us stop this one. Let's stop that one. I studied this thing very well. I had classmates who came from Australia, United Kingdom, America to be in my class. We had teachers. In fact, when government college started, they had teachers from across the world. I had teachers also from different parts of the world in my school.
So did not say that this, the moment you change the standard is too different. We should not be different from everybody. Why not? We should not be, let's not, how much do you pray in your church? 3 hours every week. The guy said, I showed a brother something. A particular ministry. I said, look at what they do. Every other week, they have Fun Sunday. And they spend 4 to 5 hours. I said, replace this with prayer. You see? If everybody has what they are committed to, it's not the time that is the issue. It's what you are doing there. So you don't change the standard. Leave it the way it is. Insist on it. So I told me, he says, sir, I'm just thinking, this conference and that conference, and he mentioned the conference we are doing, he said, I said, come. I thought you said they invited you. He said, yes, sir. Stay invited. How can you invite somebody who he says you come and eat? And he says, leave that meat for me. Ah. You invite someone to come to your house and he enters your house and say, the TV should be here. I say, did you hit your head against something? Does it look like your house? Sometimes people don't know who they are. I'm going to talk about that shortly. Who are you? No, this is our standard. This is who we are. And we are not ashamed of it. Is that clear? So they took those basic things away from the school. Took away the traditions. Took away those simple things. From the school. And then it became a carcass of itself. I saw that and I saw the body of Christ, local churches, ministries and ministers. I had the reasons to go to Youth Foundation some time back, where I was raised. And I reminded them that no. In fact, I saw a brother post something like that recently. How they took down his experience. It was, they were in secondary school. So they took them to a place, Uncle Lai took them to a place, and they were doing Bible study many hours, prayer, many hours, fasting 3 days. I said, that's the culture. That's the culture. That is why you were able to have men of God. You cannot get medical doctors teaching them sociology. You can't get accountants teaching them medicine. You can't, are you following what I'm saying? You can't get lawyers teaching them engineering. It's when you teach ministry that you have ministers. You can't get it otherwise. So, eyes on the ball. Are you there? I told you at the last conference, can you remember? I said, what are you doing? You must know exactly what you are doing. Who are you raising? Know who you are raising. Somebody asked me recently, say, is it all about ministry? I said, yes. Everything is about ministry. Living right, ministry. Giving, ministry. Your career, ministry. Because you have to be an example of a minister. Family life, ministry. The way you treat your husband and wife, ministry is in your mind. The way you treat your children and raise them, ministry is on your mind. The way you act as a citizen of Nigeria, ministry is on your mind. Because you are doing it to serve God. Everything is about ministry. Everything. So today I'll just wrap up what I want to talk about this evening is full-time ministry. Before I get there, I'll just wrap up a few things I didn't touch at the last conference. Matthew's Gospel 28. I hope you are there. Matthew's Gospel 28. Someone asked me. He said, whenever you are talking ministry, there is a different voice. I said, that is because one important as a tangent of my ministerial training, which I'm still getting trained by God's Spirit, was my attending YMTS. Rema Chapel Ilorin by Reverend George Adekwe. So you'll be hearing that kind of voice as I'm talking. That's it. young ministers attending school. Matthew 28:18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all authority is given to me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always till the end of the age. So, there is a goal all the time. Look at all the four instructions. Mark 16:15, go into all the world. Luke 24:47, repentance and remission of sin should be preached in the name of all creation, beginning at Jerusalem. John 20:23. John 20:21, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. So, the work of the ministry is a sent work. Is a sending work. You are a man, a woman on a mission. You have to keep going. You are mobile. It's an ongoing going. So let's just clarify a few things I left out the last month. I was going to talk to you about vision. Where there is no vision, the Proverbs 29:18 says, my people perish. Of course, there he's talking about the vision of redemption. But where there is no vision, vision is simply what you can see, a picture that you can see. You need vision for everything. Vision for your marriage. When you say, why are you getting married? You just look at it and say, why are you getting married? We just love ourselves. You have to have a vision. What are you planning? We have to run a business. What's the vision there? Vision? My friend just told me this is what is now making money. You know, what is the picture that you can see? What can you see? If you're going to lead people, if you're going to be in the secular world, what is the vision? Because one important name for a leader is a visionaire. Moses is a visionaire. Abraham is a visionaire. Isaac is a visionaire. Joseph is a visionaire. Jacob is a visionaire. Joshua is a visionaire. Somebody who sees the picture with us and gives us the picture also to see. What's your vision? Well, all my friends are doing it. You're starting a career. What is your vision for your career? I can't just be staying at home. What's your vision for the marriage? I cannot be 30 and not be married. That is why you are getting married. Hey, yes, no. What's the vision?
Sir, all I see is children.
You must have a vision. If you're a cell leader, a pastor, what is the picture that you can see? What is guiding you? What's motivating you? The picture is not what is happening now. The picture is what should happen. When God calls people, He gives them a vision. He gave Adam and Eve a vision. He gave mankind a vision. He gave Joshua a vision. Noah a vision. He gave Abraham a vision. He gave Isaac a vision. He gave Jacob a vision. He gave Joshua a vision. You must have Joseph a vision. You must have a vision. A vision. Where you now find the discussions, Israel now got up one day and said, we want a king like other nations. No vision. What to do church? All my friends are starting churches. That's no vision. That's competition. All my friends are doing something. Let me do it. No vision. Back then in the ancient times, people used to have wives and children because they believed that that is might and power. And it contributed to poverty. Because that is silly. There's no vision. They were not even planning for the children. That's all. You have, are you my child? Daddy. Sorry boy. What are you doing now? Who is your mother? No vision. No vision. So he has no plan. Just, my friend is doing it, I will do it too. So I will leave the country. No vision. He told me that whenever you get to America, they will be paying you, the kind of money they will be paying you, you can slap Wari. Travel. Go there. And you have a whole lot of disgruntled people abroad. They can't, forward cannot be gone to, mind my grammar, backward cannot be gone for. Who sent you message? You were there. Something like that. Was going to go abroad. I think I showed you the last time. I want to go abroad. And was signing all the documents. All the documents. Landed in the country. Just drew eye. Too bad. No vision. What are you going there to do? Say, I want to go and earn money. What money? Have you checked the country? Have you checked the... I didn't, sir. But I know that Oyibo people are better. How much are they going to pay you? A lot of money, sir. You now need exchange rate. I thought you are going to spend Naira there. What is... Your exchange rate is no longer your portion. I saw somebody like that. And he said, you know, I didn't even know. I was, forgotten which country I was in, because United Kingdom. So I got there. I just didn't know until I gave the person £100. The guy said, I didn't know. I got like 100 naira. Hey, he said, please, can I have your number? Anytime you are in this country or anywhere I am, I'll come and meet you. So, exchange rate is not your problem. Have you checked the taxes? Have you checked the situation? You want to raise kids there? Have you seen the situation? Do you know the implication of your spiritual life? Sir, this is too many in the house. You just don't go there. As I step in the promised land, that is it. I claim my possession. Too bad. You take a job in even here in Nigeria and you are signing. You finish signing. Remember Pastor Bimbo Rukoya told this story. That she was so desirous of her husband to go out of the country. She was believing God, fasting, praying. And the other one said, okay. Said, no, it is ours. So we are going to go to Europe. So they didn't pick him at the last stage of the interview. So she was like, Lord. The husband now told her, that's Pastor Taiwo. I forgot to tell you something, honey. What's that? I was going to go for 3 years. You won't see me again. What did you tell me? You did not ask. You have to know what you are doing. Where are you going to? And count the cost. Every trip has a cost. Free ride is not good. What's the cost? So what is the vision for your fellowship? What's the picture you can see? Or you are just submitting report and preaching every Tuesday, every Thursday. Just get there. Amen. Hallelujah. It's the word. You know, we know the word in this place. We are the word. No picture. So, one of the things you will know is there is no prayer burden. No, one of the things that vision does is that you will always have a prayer burden. You will always have what you have not done. Because the visions of God will keep opening new pages. I fail in my life and I refuse to be complacent and say we have done it. No. What's the vision? All the texts we read earlier, the Matthew 28 text, Mark 16 text, Luke 24 text, John 20, shows you a foresight. George Barna says a vision is foresight. What can you see? What I'm doing this evening, I've seen it before. I had done it with one, two people. What I'm doing on TV, I've done it before. What we are doing anywhere, I've done it before. And what I'm doing now, I will still do it again in the future. To the glory of God, in more intensity and more gravity. You have to have seen something. I told the story in Kenya. And I told them, I saw it again that day. Last week, it was last day or so. And I said, we had this conference. And all we could use was the stage. People had militated against us. And they had said things, you know, and people can... In ministry, you have to be used to people saying things about you. I remember Dr. Fred Price. He said, when you don't like the heat, don't go to the kitchen. Simple. So we were there. And they said to us, that before the program took place, they all sort of things had gone around. Said, no, you can't, you know, you can't do this, you can't do that. They even did all sorts of machinations. In the midst of a conference, planned with the person who gave us instruments, equipment, to come drunk and scatter the meeting. We had all sorts of things. I told those who were there, I said, what I see is glory. We're coming back to this hall, we're going to fill it up, and we're going to fill many other halls up. That is what I see. I didn't say that, oh. And then went to increase my diet of food 4 square meters. I didn't say that to go and write it on Facebook. Of course, thank God there was no Facebook then. I told them, you should come to back. No. I said that so that the devil can hear it. And I went back on my knees to pray. I told them in Nairobi. I said, it was that hall that we had the meeting of Pastor Wallace, thank God, a man who died for man. When I taught the name of Jesus, some people who are here today, that was their first meeting. And the hall, in spite of the opposition, was full. In fact, the year before, we used a hotel. I told the organizer, I said, this is not what I saw. The hotel was full to the brim and outside of, to outside. I said, no, this is not the place. What I saw is that hall, and we are going back there. You have there's a picture. And see, you will have opposition. You will have all sorts of things. You yourself, you will make mistakes. But keep the picture before you. What did I say? What did I say? Keep the picture before you. Anybody you are seeing today in Saints Community or any church doing, let's use the word well. What I mean by that is they are multiplying in intensity, strength, structure, stability, growth, and all of that, and effectiveness, they have seen it before. It doesn't happen incidentally. It's not a coincidence. They have seen it before, and they had insisted, persisted, and were consistent on what they saw. What are you seeing? What are you seeing? It is when you have no vision that you drop out. There are those who are cell leaders. I say, I don't think I can do this again. No vision. Foresight. What you see. Based on insight. What you know. Acts 26 and 18. Paul says, I am not, Acts 20:19. I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. Look at what the vision was. Rise, stand upon thy feet, 16. I've appeared to thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and witness both of the things which thou hast seen and of the things which I will appear unto thee, leaving thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom I now send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to the light, to the, from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and heritage among them which are sanctified by faith in him. He had seen that. So he said, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. There is a vision what you can see. Paul saw these before he went to Asia. You have to see it. Insight. Insight. Luke 24, 25 to 27. Jesus in 27, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Insight. Luke 24, 45, he opened it the understanding that they may understand the scriptures. Insight. Acts 1, 2, and 3, he taught them insight. You garner insight by the word. See, listen to me, hear me. My friend said this to me in 93, I won't forget it. He said, when you have the call of God upon your life and a vision for ministry, he said there is a different way you are going to read books and listen to the sermons. You will read books and listen to sermons with that vision in mind. The vision is what dominates everything about you. And that's the truth. Insight. Jesus did not teach them the word so that they can enjoy. No. He didn't teach them the word so that they can just be full of the word. Say, our church, we know the word. He taught them the word so they can have a vision. So they will know what is the plan of God. So when you are hearing a teaching series in church, you are seeing God's plan. His plan for your life, for your nation, for your ministry. You can see His plan. So visionaries hear differently. They see differently. The way you hear is different. The way you take notes aggressively, voraciously. You go back over them. You are seeing something. As a culture, if I go for a meeting to be blessed, I go with my vision. So as I'm hearing, I'm taking notes, writing the scriptures, and also writing how it applies to me and my vision. Insight. Foresight, what I can see. Based on insight, what I know. With the benefit of hindsight. Where I'm coming from. Remember, was it three cell leaders training conferences, meetings back? Where we said, don't waste those experiences. Can you remember that? Don't throw away the process. It will all come together. It will all come together. There is a way a believer can see. Somebody told me this. And said, sir, I believe God for this. Was a child in the womb. And he said the child had this disease. And he said, let's believe God. And we did. The child came out sick. I said, sir, what do we do? I said, don't panic. That means we actually believe God for a greater miracle we did not know. The greater miracle will now be, you know, the doctors have said, is this child comes out this way? Because they told her to remove the child. Child comes, he will be so and so for the rest of his life. I said, well, so you didn't remove the child. And the child was still the same thing when he was born. I said, you are now going to receive a greater miracle. So along the line, you have learned patience. You have learned how to ward off contradictory circumstances. There is something you have learned. To the glory of God, less than 8 months of that child, the whole disease was cleared. But the mother and the father, they learned something. Patience. You will now know how to be a blessing to others. Say, don't worry. You know, your experience now becomes a blessing. You now know how to, because when you are in a quick fix generation, it must happen now. I told you before, if the greatest human miracle, as it were, in the natural, is a man conceives, a woman conceives, that's serious. Woman conceives through a man, and then they have a child. But they have to wait 9 months. Jesus waited, God wait. It's just what it is. Hindsight. Benefit of hindsight. Those experiences will come. Have you seen yourself? When you have people you are following up. You just remember a not so good experience that now becomes important. You remember, this, what I thought was bad, now looks good. And you now share. You now say this. You now explain. You now preach this. You now explain that. I'm grateful for my hindsight. Hindsight is important. The apostles did not know the impact of their experiences until they began. And then they said in Acts 4:13, seeing that these men were learned and educated, they took knowledge of the fact that they had been with Jesus. Hindsight. 1 John 1:1. It says, our eyes have looked upon, our hands have handled the word of life. Hindsight. 2 Peter 1:16. We did not make up cunningly devised fables where we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We were eyewitnesses of His majesty. Hindsight. Hindsight becomes important if you have not disobeyed God. Everything comes out well. So your vision is the picture you see based on the knowledge you have with the benefit of the experiences that you have. Hindsight. I saw somebody praying. We're going long distance prayer. And the guy started screaming from the floor. I said, come. With the benefit of hindsight, I've done this before. It doesn't end well. It will not end in praises. You have to ensure that you are careful. The way you have started is about to lie down. Take it slow. We are going 18 hours. You start by raising your voice like the day of Pentecost. No. You start slowly. And sometimes in the middle, you raise it a bit to keep revving up the engine. Towards the end, where you can see the time, there's just 30 minutes in the air. That's it. That is it. With the benefit of, depending on who is going to round up the prayer meeting, the person will say, we are still praying. Benefit of hindsight. Foresight. Insight. Hindsight. How do I catch the vision? By the Spirit. By the Word. By hearing God's Word. The vision becomes clearer. So like we are doing today. The Holy Ghost walks on my heart. And by the local assembly where I found myself. I put this out on Facebook and I'm going to repeat it again. That some church leaders are propagating dangerously an ecclesiology devoid of physical attendance. It's dangerous. Years down the line, you'll have seen what we have created. Oftentimes, idols do not appear like their idols till years down the line. Those who idolize bottles of oil know what it has created. Water. Those who idolize those things will see what they have created. Remember years ago, and I can say this, about 21 years or so, there was this sudden strange move around the churches in Nigeria. Some different speakers just came up and started talking about marketplace. Things like that. And I told friends that I said, watch what is going to happen. The kind, look down the years, you will see the kind of churches that we're going to produce. They're just trying to be balanced. I said, don't worry, you will see will balance down the line. It's a dangerous trend. Where do you want to put that pursuit where you will leave Ibadan? You know, today, if you post the details of a meeting, the next question is, I hope you are going to stream it. He's not even thinking of coming. I hope you will stream it. I hope it will be available for some of us in ADs. I hope we can watch it. Where are you? He said, I'm in Abuja. The meeting is in Ibadan. I know, sir. But you're for the benefit of those of us who are in exile. Yet, the same meeting, somebody will leave Ethiopia and come. It's a dangerous trend. You know me, I say my own quickly. I'm never moved by trends. Never. I just said, we can just watch it online. Online. So when I follow people online, and those, when I, some of our teachers, they won't even listen. They say, wow. They'll stop that bad habit anyway, because I have to caution them. Stop it. This is the word. Stop preaching it with me. You see that bad habit? Are you going to stream it? And unfortunately, you see some people who are meant to follow good examples. They will be doing prayer meetings, sir. They will stream it for people to join prayer online. You and I know online is a lie. The word that you are there. You are struggling with sleep. Who does not know how to put meat in the mouth and will look for it and not see it? You! I said, just say, we are praise. Mount of transformation. So be careful! An ecclesiology devoid of physical attendance is an error. And there's trouble looming in the atmosphere. One of the things that is going to happen is that people are going to have multiple pastors. Multiple instructions. They are going to be left on their own. I love someone said this beautifully. He said, the e-church is meant for the isolated, not to isolate brethren and make them live in isolation. There are places, even in the places where they are facing strong persecution, they still find places to meet. So, let's be warned! Don't let the idol of ease, comfort, make us vulnerable to become worldly. Can I have an amen? So the local church, the influence of believers around us. Get the vision. Every church, see, look at me. All of you here and those of you who listen to me. As a cell leader, as a pastor, a fellowship coordinator, zonal pastor, whatever, GO, LO, whatever you are. Every teaching should aid your vision. Every prayer meeting. That's why it's dangerous. For you, for example, want to do a Bible teaching. A Bible teaching. Maybe tomorrow, maybe on Tuesday, maybe any day. And then you start finding reasons not to be there. One day, it will show up. Your thirst for God's word should be such that you can travel down to hear it. You can travel down to hear it. People were leaving Nigeria for Tulsa to hear Hagen and Hagen. People were leaving, they were coming from different countries to come to Africa to come and hear Archbishop Desmond Dahosa. That is Christianity. That is Christianity. That is Christianity. Someone told me, but the Bible says, would you reach all nations? I said, are you unreached? You are a believer. Well, I'm not trying to reach you. You have been reached. What's your vision? What can you see? In Exodus 18. I was going to share that the other day. I just mentioned it briefly. We saw how Jethro
gave counsel to Moses. I put the counsel in just one thing. Order. Learn to have order. When you have order in something, you find structure. Who is who? Who is over what? When you find just one person doing what many should do, that is disorder. Order. I was going to say this on Sunday. In marriage, there has to be order. Who is the husband? Say we. Who is the wife? Us. I know you are joint heirs in Christ, but you are the woman and you are the wife. I know you are joint heirs in Christ, you are the husband and you are the man. There is order. Is that very clear? You know? So here we are, where there is disorder, your nose begins to see, your eyes begin to bleed. Or all the body is doing the same thing. That's a problem. Disease is when a part of the body is not functioning in its own role. Order. So Jethro simply said, Moses, your role is to lead, provide men that can also lead and can teach others. Order. So group them in 50s, 100s, 1000s. And notice in Matthew 14, Jesus adopted, or let's say did the same thing. Matthew 14. Matthew 14, 19. He commanded the multitudes to sit down. And on the grass, he took 5 loaves, 2 fish, blessed it, and gave the loaves to the disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. Look at how it went. Disciples, then the multitude. Someone say order. So he was using this event to even train people. You see the same thing. John 6. And verse 10 through to 11. Same. So your work, your ministry must have orderliness. Mark 6. Orderliness involves punctuality. Mark 6, critically, look at 39. He commanded them to make them all sit down by companies upon the green grass. Now look at verse 40. They sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. That's why we are structured like this as a church. Cell groups, fellowships, this, that's how to be effective. So it will get, the word and the ministry will get to everybody. Order. Who is doing what? One person cannot be doing everything. One person will oversee everything. One person cannot be doing everything. Who is doing what? Order. You have to organize yourself. I mentioned that. Be strategic in your thinking. Companies, 50s, ranks. Organize how you disciple people. Organize how you teach them. Organize your teaching. Organize your ministry. Organize the people. When organization comes in, the people have focus and we know where we are going to. Who are your 12? Who are your 70? Jesus chose 12 strategically to pass a message to the 12 tribes of Israel, Luke 9. In Luke 10, he chose 70. for the nations of the earth. You must know what you are doing.
12 and 17.
You must be organized. You must be organized. I told you last time. You must see your work as the work of a trainer. You are training people to do what, that means that some things you are doing now, you will not be the only ones doing it after a while if you are really organized. Now things you are doing today, I said that the fortress camp, when we began the fortress camp, I was one of the people who arranged the chairs, did all those kind of things, were there together, made sure the rooms were in order. I used to teach the fortress, the Charis meetings. I'll be the one preaching. The Charis Bible study, I'll go there to go and teach there. I was doing that. But as I was doing that, I was training others to do what I was doing. So, one generation, and the other one generation, and each leading others. Now, those who are not even born then, are now doing what I was doing then. Order. Organization. Put it in the right place. You from the onset, know that you want to multiply. I knew it with the fortress mission. I knew it. First fortress mission, I said it at that meeting. I slept on the benches. I mean, on a desk. Second one, we moved the meeting or so. The third one, and the third one, others were now doing what I was doing. It's not difficult. I'll go for the meetings myself. I will do it happily. Happily. Remember that brother? Brother Mente. Brother Mente. He had this car, Volkswagen. We'll go for the meeting. Teach well. And I won't go newly dressed. Well dressed. To go and teach the world. I've traveled to different countries. I was not going to a secondary school like I was going to a conference. Teach. Teach. They'll make nice. Teach. Wait behind. Minister to them. Take counsels. I will counsel them. Take their questions. Same person. But, as I was doing it, I knew it had to grow. Same with the campuses. We'll go ourselves. Go and teach and preach. Those who were not born then are now the ones holding those campuses. But when we're doing it, we had a picture. So that what we are doing today, in a few years, it is going to be translated in languages. Right now it's already been done. We saw it. One day I saw someone, I said, I have to remove something I say in the teachings. Say why? Say, our audiences are changing. The person did not see it. I said, no. We're going to have audiences that will not understand what I'm saying. Picture. Organize yourself. When you see yourself and you're sitting in one spot, that is not the vision of God. You know. Organize yourself. Set your work in order. Train people. Teach them. You don't spend time with people. You don't. Spend your money. Spend your money. Now we do the fortress camp and we now have people who give across the churches. It used to be just four of us or five. Transportation, feeding, everything. Everything. Free this one. Free that one. Free. Now, you have conscripted them to 2 meals per day. It used to be 3. But we knew the day will come. It will be shared. Among, so that we'll go to TV and say, please, oh, who wants to help us in fortress? We will not see that kind of thing. I mean, we're going to raise men to be doing it. You have to see what you are doing. See what you're doing. In the ministry. What is the picture? What is the vision? What is the vision that you can see?
Earlier days, I'll be the one teaching the Bible schools. Now, your pastors go and teach it. It's coming times, the next few years, many more people. It's what the picture is.
Not, you know, going to, and I use that a lot of ministers. Some of them are very funny.
Before you listen to somebody talk about ministry, look at the person's, what? Look at the person's track record. Don't just hear somebody be giving you postulations about ministry, well, ministry is, the word, come on, bitch. Hey, let's find out what's going on. What's your track record? What's your track record?
So you should know what you're doing. What's your picture?
I'll sit down there, someone say, we are not growing. The reason why you are not growing is that you are not growing. If you are growing, you will be growing.
Too many distractions.
We'll see that in a moment. Hope you are there. Organize yourself. Who are your 12? Who are your 70? How did you organize the cell? How did you, what days do you meet? Do you think about it? You have majorly people who work on weekends. You now fix your days during weekends. You don't want to have them come. You have, you know, so you should sit down. How can we be effective in what we are doing? When most of the meetings, you are so irresponsible. I know you are not like that. I'm just talking because this is going to go beyond you. I don't come to the meeting late. I told the guy one time, I said, look at you. I said, no matter the videos you do, so a pastor of this church. So no matter the videos you do, no matter the insights you have, you will be frustrated. You have not given the commitment that this work requires. You miss meetings with ease. You get to church late. You delegate everything out for a starting church. You're not going anywhere. If you like, go to camps and be doing vigils. It amounts to nothing. Somebody who is trying to take rainfall, with a basket is wasting his time. You will be in the rain, but you have forgotten you are in the basket. You are late. You are a bad example. You don't spend time with the flock. The only time you see them is on Tuesday. You don't do any other teaching or training except your cell meeting. You cannot make progress. You find some people, they're looking for very cheap ones. You look for people's church members. The moment the fellow says, I am a committed member of a church, he's not your disciple. If he says, okay, I have left to follow you. Don't say, I know you're in that church, but can I still be teaching you the word? Are you living word media? Focus on your work. Are you there? You have to learn to, so what you like, ready-made materials. Those, you want members who are going to show up immediately. Who are full of the word, full of the Holy Ghost. They're going to bring you problems. Anytime you have people who are ready-made for you in ministry, you are going to have problems. They are going to be problematic. Raise them yourself. What did I say? Raise them yourself.
But pastor, someone say, this member, that this one, I've abandoned this one. Someone talking about follow up. I say, Yoruba say, this wood is not good. This is not good. That, you won't get anything cooked. You adjust it. Is that clear?
Make it effective. Put it properly. It will work.
Even the things you thought were not useful,
eventually become useful. Give it the focus that it requires.
When I see the work of Pastor Tony Rappo with people that the society has rejected, drug addicts, of course, I'm not involved in that. But I'm just saying, when you see the transformation of somebody who was into drugs and weed and cannabis and all that,
now becomes a responsibility of society, it shows you that if you give the same commitment with the word of God to people's lives, they can be transformed. That man must have seen something. If you see the way Pastor Tony Rappel will go across the waters with people, you know, you sometimes with no security. He goes. And the man is in his 60s, I hope you know. An elderly man. That shows vision. I won't do that. That's not what I'm called to do. I'm just saying that the fact that he can transform somebody, that's something that, I swear that it's true. This is something to think about. Nobody would have seen this person and said this person become a banker. There was a guy like that was a bus conductor. And the person saw, someone saw how he spoke well. He said, come. He just took him. Took him through primary school, secondary school. The man today has a master's degree. Someone saw it. You must be ready to take people in the raw form. Are you there? So there are a few questions you should ask yourself. For example, in the church where you are in, who am I? Questions you answer easily. But one, I'm a believer. Someone told me, say, sir, in this church, just say, I give with the pastor. So one day I just called him. He said, yes, sir, I'm just expressing my concerns. What's your concern? If we could be doing this like this and doing this like this, I listened well. I listened very well. The part I've never said before. I said, what exactly did you come here to do? What did you come? When you came, the very first day you came, what did you come to do? I came to learn God's word. Be focused. Learn God's word. Don't become God's word. Learn it. Number two, I said, this church, did you start it? She said, no, sir. Did we start it together? She said, no, sir. Were you here when we started? She said, no, sir. Look in the auditorium. Find your seat and sit there. Always know who you are. Is that very clear? Always know who you are. Imagine if somebody gets up today and say, I declare that pig milk is now 1 naira. They'll say, who are you? Right? They say, no, I can't declare. MD Wamco? No. Okay, CEO? No. Chairman? No. Largest shareholder? Is it Friesland now? Largest shareholder? No. Okay. Maybe you are prepared to buy up all the pig milk for the next 100 years. Not yet. So, with which authority are you speaking? Am I not a child of God? You can't just get up. It's not within your jurisdiction. You go and meet somebody who is a new person in church, or someone in cell, and say, I don't think you should attend the prayer meeting. Please, who are you? I don't think you should give. Please, who are you? Let me understand your role here. Say, I declare, next week Wednesday is a public holiday for the whole country. So is he a skit? Because who are you? A governor. Declare it in your state. If I'm in your state, some organization will not listen to you because they are not bound to your regulations. You can't say I'm president of Nigeria. I declare all West Africans should start wearing bandana. No. Even in Nigeria, there are things you cannot say. You can't say, I can say, as who? I say, look in the auditorium. Find your space and sit there. Are you following what I'm saying? We're in a generation that people can just take their phone and type. Don't bring that nonsense here. Paul said, the local church is a conglomeration of believers, seeing themselves in one accord, and then they mutually submit to each other in the brotherhood of the... Sounding like Babel.
Verily, to one another with the Spirit of God and said that Jesus is Lord. And say, what is this? This doesn't make sense.
Have you not seen the difference between cooking when people give you recipe on the internet? And then you prepare the food and say,
how to make amala.
Pour 2 cups. Let it. You eat nonsense. Say, therefore, put this. After 3 minutes. There was something, you know, remember, when you have a commotion, catering practical. Just say, then add oil. Just two spoons, then half salt. But when you see professionals, they don't know those things. Huh? You see smoke. Power of God is moving. Power of God is moving. Experience. Not theory. The local church is the conglomeration of the Spirit and the... Come on, go for evangelism! When you go for evangelism, and the guy says he's born again and he's lying, you just understand local church. And he's speaking in tongues that is not of the Spirit. You're talking grammar. Talking grammar. We'll just follow the life of God. Have you paid for venue? Have you bought land? No. You're just using the temple of God. Well, 2 or 3, I got that. Have you been chased out by your landlord? Serve quick notice. Not yet. I don't have landlord. I'm the landlord. I'm using my room. Stay there. You've not done those kind of things. What are you talking about? Who are you? One, I'm a believer. I must know who I am. A Nigerian. Oh, you're in Nigeria, you're in Nigeria. Is that clear? Nigerian, an American, a Ghanaian, a Brit or British, a Spaniard, in Saints Community Church. Those are the things you should identify. A believer in Nigeria, in Saints Community Church. Yaba, Akoka, Ketu, Onda, Brother Soso. That's how to know who you are. A believer in Nigeria, in Saints Community Church, Igado, under Brother Soso and so, who is under, but that's how to know who you are. Well, people say, sir, so the pastors know this. Someone approaches me on an issue, if I'm a church member, I'll say, which church? They'll say, so-so and so. I say, no problem. I'll take the message, send to the pastor in charge, please handle it. That's how it's done. Who is the person? Who is he under? Where is he? There's none of us who has oversight over the body of Christ. There is none of us who belong to the body of Christ. Say, Lord, who are you? Where are you? Be clear. Don't have an identity crisis. Who are you? I am not in your zone. Why are you discussing your zone with me? I am not in your fellowship. But we are lovers. We love ourselves. Yes, that's our love life. We are business partners. We are siblings. Mm-mm. I am not in your cell. Know who I am. I told you in the series I taught you, don't be stupid. Always know the audience you are talking to. Who are these people I'm speaking to? When I'm speaking here, I'm speaking to you. When I go to other churches, there are things I don't say when I go to other places. For example, you will not catch me advertise our books anywhere except the host tells me to. I don't do it. I won't advertise our website
I don't do it. It is lack of ethics.
I'll ask the host, do you want me to talk about our books?
Ah, yes, sir.
I don't get there and say, you know, don't go there and be advertising yourself. Don't do it. Don't. Where are you? Who are you talking to? No! What you are telling them and what you should not say. Know how the information is passed across. I recall something recently happened. And I got to know, saw my mom, and my mom asked about the person. Somebody she knew very well, a pastor. I was about to travel, and I had to manage the information very well with her. So when she saw me, I said, how is this person? I said, he's fine. Of course, the person is a Christian, has to be fine, even though the person is pastor, but he's fine. She said, okay. When I was away, she would chat, she would call me and, you know, talk about the person. I said, he's fine. 2 weeks or so after, when I came back, I said, that day, the man passed, she didn't say, why didn't you tell me? She has known me very well. I don't talk stupidly. I looked at it. I can't say this now. Let me give it some time. Right? Then I'll say it at the right time. So when I told someone, I said, you didn't tell, I said, no, say, you're a very cautious person. I said, I am. Did you know what? You just don't talk any blah, 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 blah. One of the things required of a bishop is the way he talks. Talk well. Don't be garrulous, cantankerous. Some of us have ruined relationships. Premarital, marital. Business. By stupid things you say. Let me say this to you. See. Life's treasures are human beings. Whether it's spiritual or natural. Knowing how to manage, relate, is a huge treasure. Listen to me. 50% of your progress in life is how you relate with people. Ideas will come in business. People will share things with you because of the kind of wisdom that you exude. Oh yeah, just it's not everything that is being brilliant. You can be brilliant, intelligent, smart academically, and be very stupid in how you do things. Know who you are. Is that very clear? You can be extremely prayerful. You are there. But to now apply everything. Odo, zero. Because you are not applying the word. That's why Joshua was so meditate. Think. Day and night. Joshua 1:8. Psalm 1:3. 1 Timothy 4:15. Think. Day and night. Brood over what you have heard. Brood over the prophecies. Brood over the written word. I'm a believer in Nigeria, in Saints Community Church, Bariga, Aja, Epe, New Jersey, United Kingdom, South Africa, under that person, doing this. Very clear. There are things I will, no matter how close we are, there are things we cannot talk about. Because it's not your business. You are not part of that conversation. There are even things that I will tell you years down the line when I see you are mature enough to hear it. Who are you? Who are you? I'm not saying I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. Yes. Where? In Nigeria. In Saints Community Church. Abuja. Under this person. With this person. 1 Thessalonians 5:12. Paul was clear. He wrote to the church. Did you notice that? Despite the fluidity or the rigidity of theology, what you'll find in each epistle is unique. To that church. Learn from that. There are things I can say here is for you.
I can't say elsewhere. It's not for them.
1 Thessalonians 5:12. Same thing. There are things I can tell Saints community. I like to know
that will not tell Saints community. He can't do.
That's just what it is. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 12. Know them which labor among you are over you in the Lord and admonish you. Know them. Know them. What did Moses say? What did Jethro tell Moses? Look for the elders of the people. Same thing in Numbers 11. The elders of the people. Look who are elders, officers over there. Look for them. Acts 6:2. Look among you. Know who you are. Oh, you are Pastor Larry's very close friend. That is not a church office. It's not a spiritual office. You are the wife of so-and-so. That is not a spiritual office. Who are you in your church? Who? Someone said, the way the music team is singing, I'm not the music team head. Why are you telling me? I'm just saying, can't we just share things? With things? Can't we just talk? We talk. So, know who you are. The local assembly. And know what you are doing. I love something the brother said, man of God. He said, jocular, yet proverbial. Let's know what we are doing. Know what you are doing. That's something you're back on. I'm not on your bar. That is, you are this old. You cannot think. You handle sacred things like a fool. Your office is a sacred place. What did I say? Say like you heard it. Don't handle it like a fool. Talk appropriately. You have to learn. See, as you grow, something you learn is how to talk. How to properly talk. How to talk with people. How to address issues. At times you are frankly, brutally tough, yes. But know how to talk. So we're looking at the full-time minister. As a focus this evening, don't worry, we'll be done soon. The full-time minister. Ministry is full-time. Full-time means what is done fully. Ministry is something you do full-time. In Luke 9, a man said, I want to follow you. Jesus answered him, said, birds of the air have nests. Luke 9. Foxes have holes, verse 58. The Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. So the other one said, follow me. Say, let me first go and bury my father. Sir, let the dead bury their dead. You go and preach the kingdom. Verse 61, he said, one said, I'll follow thee, but first, let me go and bid well, farewell to them at home. He said, he that puts his hand on the floor and looks back, is not fit for the kingdom. That shows you the work is full time. Listen to what he did not say. He didn't say, don't love your father, don't bury your father. That's not what he said. He's not saying, oh, don't have a house. No. Neither is he saying, don't even interact them at home. No. He's saying, this is first priority. What full-time ministry simply means is, it's your first and topmost priority. All the parables and epithets, the descriptions of ministry are full-time things. A shepherd's work is full-time. Years ago, I remember I did a study on the shepherd's office, the office of the pastor, and I watched the Jewish, ancient Near Eastern culture, the Jewish culture on how shepherds were. Shepherds worked all night. They are like doctors. They are always on call. A shepherd, which is how your office is described, is a full-time job. Also the military. The military. A full-time job. Always watching. Watchmen. The farmer. He watches the plant. His work does not stop till there is fruit. The parent, the bishop. So you and I have a duty to see the ministry at whatever capacity you are. Pastor, or you pastor churches, or you have a cell or a fellowship that has cells under you. It's a full-time job. Whilst you are handling other things in your life. Full-time job, for example, didn't mean that the people who God called didn't have families. They had families. They had jobs. They had professions. They had pursuits. But what was primary in their lives, which dictated everything they did? Their pursuits in life, their locations, was this work of the ministry. So you and I need to see the work as full. Full time. So it'll be full time. Full time ministry simply means it takes the whole of your life. Full time ministry simply means your entire life is involved in it. Full time ministry simply means your family is involved in it. Not that they're the ones preaching. Full time ministry simply means all your plans run through it. Full time ministry simply means that it's your first priority in life. That's what it is. In Mark 10, when they told Jesus in 28, we have left all to follow you. All to follow you. And they mentioned the things they left. Sisters, brethren. That doesn't mean they didn't have sisters anymore. In fact, they did. When Paul wrote about Peter, he still had a wife. But what they are saying is, what you have asked us to do is first priority. And all of us, may I mention this, we need that stage in our lives. Just like this young man, where we lay a solid foundation before we start getting married, having children, building this big business and all that. If you have that advantage, I told someone today, I said, this is the time where you can lay a sound foundation for ministry. This young person, younger than I am, not married yet, not yet entangled with many things. I said, this is the best time to lay that foundation. So every decision you make will be passed through this foundation and it will stand. This is the time. So, what does this require? Full time ministry does not mean you'll be in church all the time, no? You can be in church all the time and you are not fully committed to what is going on. What is it? Exactly. I'll use a story in the Bible quickly. 1 Samuel chapter 3. Are you in church? 1 Samuel 3. Verse 1. You know the story? Samuel was dedicated by the mother Anna to serve the Lord. She brought him there to raise him as a faithful steward. Verse 1. The child Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. Look at verse 2. Came to pass that the time when Eli was laid down in his place, his eyes began to wax dim and he could not see. Let's take 3 together. And ere the lamp of God went on the temple of the Lord where the ark was laid, and Samuel was laid down to sleep. That ere means it almost went out. What's the significance there? Go to Exodus 27. Fire always represents the presence of God, the work of the Spirit, and the glory of God. Exodus 27, and verse 20. I would love us to read it together. Let's go. And thou shalt command the children of Israel, are you there? That they bring thee pure olive oil, beaten for the light, to cause the lamp to burn always. 21. In the tabernacle of the congregation without the veil, which is before the testimony, Aaron and his son shall order it from evening till morning before the Lord. It shall be a statute forever. All the generations will bear for the children of Israel. That means they will keep the fire burning. Oh, I thought the fire is God's presence. Or bless God's presence. Yes. But they will keep it burning. Look at chapter 30. And verse 8. That's why in 1 Samuel, before he told you about the lamp of the Lord almost going out, he showed you a priest whose eyes were dim. A priest who a lost cause. So before the fire goes down, the priest has stopped attending to his duties. Who's following what I'm saying here? Fire doesn't just stop. Fire stops when you stop. Chapter 30 verse 8. When Aaron lights the lamp at evening, he shall burn the incense upon it, a perpetual incense before the Lord through your generations. Leviticus 24. Verse 1 through to 3. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure olive oil, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually. Without the veil of the testimony, the tabernacle of the congregation shall Aaron order it from the evening to morning, before the Lord continually. It shall be a study forever in your generation. You shall order the lamps upon the pure candlestick before the Lord continually. Look at the word continually. So, they were meant to keep the fire burning. 2 Chronicles chapter 13. 2 Chronicles chapter 13. Then verse 11. And they burn on the Lord every morning, even burnt sacrifices, sweet incense, the shewbread also made order upon the pure table, the candlestick of gold with the lamps thereof, to burn every evening. For we keep the charge of our Lord, but you have forsaken him. Which means it was their duty to keep it burning. Now, I checked this with what Paul said in Romans 12:11. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit. The word zeo, from the word zelo, and found that it was a synonym of the word used here, to burn continually. So Aaron and his kids showed us a mirror of what we now call New Testament ministry, to keep the fire burning. It's your duty to keep the fire burning and not be like Eli, careless, like a lackadaisical. Eyes were already dim. No visions. The word Allah to burn, A-L-A-H, it means something keeps going up. To keep going up. Synonymous with the word zeo in Romans 12:11. Not slothful in business. Look at what he said. Fervent in spirit. Keep the fire of the spirit burning. Serving the Lord. Just like Aaron and his children, you must night and day keep the fire burning. Don't use meetings to keep the fire burning. Don't use events
to keep the fire burning.
Keep the fire burning all the time.
That is the word full time ministry. It means to keep the fire burning every WCC.
Huh?
You wait for the next cell leader's training.
Huh?
All the time. Day and night.
So I'm going to ask you, what do you do daily to keep the fire burning?
What do you do daily to keep the fire burning?
What do you do?
Because it will show up someday.
The words you all. Romans 12:11, Acts 18:25, spoken about the man Apollos.
It's a verb. Something you keep doing.
Fire is not automatic. You have to light it up.
You have to keep it burning.
Thank God for prophets of our lives. Oh, you were born for love for the rest of life. Amen. We'll do it for the next 60 years. Amen.
That's the picture. Now keep the picture real. What do you do daily? Daily. To keep the fire burning.
Now that word is from another word, zelos. In the Greek now, Z-E-L-O-S. Now let me just run through the text for you. That same word is used for jealousy. Jealousy or anger. Acts 5:17. Rage. They were filled with indignation. Acts 13:45. Indignation. Romans 13:13. Jealousy. Jealousy. 1 Corinthians 3:3. Jealousy. Galatians 5:20. James 3:14. Which means, it means that you want something. What do you want? So which means that to keep the fire burning, I must always have an expectation. Because this is a negative use of that word. Zelo. Yet, in John 2:17, it was used for Jesus. The zeal of his father's house has consumed him. John 2:17. The zeal of thine house has eaten me up. 2 Corinthians 7:7-11. 2 Corinthians 9:2. It means to be passionate about somebody, about something. It can be negative, what we read earlier. 2 Corinthians 11:2. Philippians 3:6. Hebrews 10:27. It means you want to get something done. You want it badly. So what do you want badly? You want the freshness of the Spirit badly. You want the move of God badly. It means a passionate request, a passionate expectation. In the case of Aaron and his children, they wanted the presence of God to remain in the tabernacle, which we saw in 1 Samuel 3, visions and revelation. I'm going to ask you, do you want the freshness of the Spirit upon your teaching and preaching? Upon your oversight. You want to be a person who does not just use logic to pastor, logic to do the work of ministry, but the freshness. Then there's just one way.
keep the fire burning. You have to keep the fire burning once a week. Huh? You don't pray throughout the week, but one vigil. No. You only pray during the prayer group. No. Day and what? Night. All the time. To burn all the time, you have to keep the fire burning all the time. The other word you will see, a noun of that word is the word zelo. Z-E-L-O-O. Again, it can be negative. Acts 7:9, Acts 17:5, 1 Corinthians 13:4, and James 4:2. It's for a strong desire. Acts 7:9, Acts 17:5, 1 Corinthians 13:4, James 4:2. A strong desire. Yet in 1 Corinthians 12:31, covet earnestly the best gifts. 1 Corinthians 14:1, desire things of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 14:39, convert to prophesy. 2 Corinthians 11:2. Galatians 4:17 and 18. You see, it's about a strong, I want it. You already have it, I want it. Oh, but I thought yesterday, you moved the power of God and healed the sick, raised the dead. You act like you don't have it. And you want it again. Oh, what? Was it not 2 days ago? You had these encounters and these visions. I still want it. That is what that word is. I want it again. It's almost contrast to the I have it all new creation reality. I want it now! How badly do you need the move of the Spirit of God in your nation? How badly? Oh, yesterday was such a great service. Oh, the hall was packed up. People heard the word. People were full of the Holy Ghost. Those who were sick were healed. People were set up to the work of ministry. How do I keep it burning? I want it again today. I want more. Which means, to have full-time ministry, I must want more. I must what? I was one cousin of mine. We named him, Daddy, I want more. Mommy, I want more. We always know that when he, as he's eating, he will want more. In fact, one of his nicknames was Denderman. He can eat and sleep well. He wants more. That's another cause naturally. He wants more. You must want more. That is how to keep it burning. I want more. That's in that song. I want more of you. The guy said, that song, is it Christocentric? We already have all of him. I said, I can see it. The more I know you, the more I want to know you. That's what he said. More of you. More and more of you, Lord. That is how to be in the full-time ministry. More and more. There is an insatiable appetite that God gave us by His Spirit for the things of His Spirit. That is, we have all of His Spirit to want more of His Spirit. We have all of His Spirit to want more of His Spirit. We have all of His glory to want more of His glory. That is how to keep the fire burning. That's why for me, at the end of every ministry year, people will come up and say, "Ah, we're blessed, we're blessed, we're blessed, we're blessed. Oh, what a meeting." You watch it over the years. My last teachings in any conference is, let's go for more. Miles Monroe said this years ago, I will never forget it. He said, the enemy of tomorrow might be today. Or today might be yesterday. What was basically saying this? You have done so much in your eyes. Not knowing there is more. Don't say there is more. I like that the most. I believe there is more. I believe there is more. Who believes there is more? Who believes there is more? Let me see how you believe there is more. There is more. More depth of prayer. More depth of the things of the Spirit. More depth in the Word. More souls. More healing miracles. More insight into the Word. More times of prayer. Hallelujah. Don't say, in those days, we used to pray, I want more. I want more. Oh, you prayed so much and you saw the glory of God physically. There's still a time to pray. And people will see it through you. I'm not the only person that's going to see it. Others will see it. I saw a guy. He's in Germany now. He was in the United Kingdom. Chatted with us a few days ago. And he said, my mother, they were a Muslim family living close to our house then. Said, my mother told me that when I was a young boy, that you laid hands on me and the Holy Ghost and I spoke in tongues. I said, yeah. She said, but after all, I'd already gone into the world, had done different things. She said, but she kept saying this to me, that from me, you won't laid hands on you. I said, so and so about you. I said, what? She said, now, I'm a pastor. You know, there's more. Hallelujah. So, then you saw the glory. It's time for people to also see it. Hallelujah. Believers, the one believer see, unbelievers are seeing it. Amen? There is more. Don't say there is more. Don't start settling down. There is more. Your fasting days are not behind you. Your days of hitting the road, getting people born again and healed are not done behind you. There is more. To spare full time in ministry, you give it a full time dedication. Job Edeko said this years back. The senior pastor, the presiding bishop of Winner's Chapel. He said, now we're going full time in this walk. He said, nobody having half time will get our results. Of course, I take what he has said to mean when I give myself fully to something, a man who does it a few hours in the week can never get that effectiveness. No way. No way. No way! Labor you pour into prayer, the word, and lives. That's what will come out. It's what you do that we are going to see. You can't wake up one Thursday morning, speak in tongues for 1 hour, and just go and teach and get results. You can't just do a vigil, not do any follow-up, no oversight, then show up on Saturday, no, you are deceiving yourself. It's something you do daily. Revelation 3:19. Jesus speaking to the church. Not sure about this church. I spotted it in my notes specifically. Revelation 3. This was a church. He said, Laodicea, verse 15. I know your works. Thou art neither hot nor cold. I would that you are cold or hot. I'm saying this as a timely warning. Saints, community church, and body of Christ, as those that can hear what I'm saying, and you and I here. Look at what Jesus said is neither hot nor cold, lukewarm. I will spew them out of my mouth. Let's take 17 together. Because thou seest. You know, you can fool yourself by your opinion about yourself. After all, I am not doing badly. After all, I am good. I'm fine. After all, because you say, you have now replaced the instruction of the Spirit with your perception, with your logic, with your conclusion. You say, now let's finish it together. I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing.
This is not figurative. I mean, how would you tell me, sir, that this man is lukewarm? A man who is rich, he has no needs. A child like no needs. Flies first class, has his own private jet. Doing well. Say, how is brother? So, he's doing very well. I mean, you and I should be ashamed of ourselves when we talk like that. A brother, you were in secondary school together, in university together, with your slippers, you hit the road, do evangelism, make disciples, raise the dead, heal the sick. We are beating, flogged, shame for Christ. And you are happy doing it. Suddenly, he's like a dicey, but now he occupies an exclusive position. He has feet of cars. He's married, has kids. He's on Instagram. Instagram, you know Instagram? Where you feed your eyes with all sorts. Where people go, some of you are like that. When you look at those pictures, you look at yourself. And say, Can you imagine? And you know, say, brother, so and so. This is not what we said. That's how to talk to Christians. This is not what we said. This is not what we said. I am rich. You know, by worldly standards, this is a successful person. Some churches will even blow this man. You know, if this man joined our church, so and so and so. I am rich. No, don't mean that. I had to leave that church because they didn't give me the application that I wanted. I've now joined a church, so now people are joining church because of business groups. Business groups, so they can connect to reconnect, and they have people they do business together with. A stench. Stinking stench. Rubbish. We are rich. That's what they said. We don't need anything. He says, you do not know. You do not know. Which means that you are ignorant. You know not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. May your pursuit not blind your eyes. Did you hear what I said? May your pursuits not cause you to be blind. Because you will wear the best of clothes and God sees you naked. You will have the best of accomplishments and God says it's nothing. It's nothing. It's time we use God's counsel to talk to people. Don't see a backsliding brother and say, come. This is not it. This is not it. No. So this is not it. I recall a sister like that. She was in relationship with a brother that I know who was a minister. I raised the brother, not her, but then we were in relationship. He left the country. Went, got 3 international jobs, 2 actually, then 1 in that country. Became extremely wealthy. Very wealthy. This is in the 90s. And was able to get his own car. He was building a house in Nigeria and all that. Within 2 years. So, I didn't see him after a while. And I said, he came to see me in 2001. Prof, please help me. The sister was Amaka. She said, she's not doing it again. I said, what did you do? She didn't tell me. He didn't tell me, he just said, no, I don't know what happened. I said, if it's distant, and I call her, I said, yeah, I know that I even sent her a lot of money to buy Nigel card. She will call me and we talk and all that. I said, let's go to her. He bought a very good car. If I go to Nigeria and bought a car to use. Okay, got to the sister. She was staying at Dolphin Estate. I got there, staying with her aunt or so. We spoke. I said, let me talk to her alone. I trust you, sir. You fix it. So I sat the sister down. What happened? Sir, if he can abandon God like that, I can't trust him.
So he just went to the Middle East to make money. He didn't tell me he was going there to make money. Yes, it was an opportunity. He told me he was going there to establish ministry. He started a church. After a few years, abandoned the church. I said, I know. He said, you know, sir. I said, I know. He had stopped calling me. He said, stop calling you. He said, I knew. I knew he had missed God. He was speaking. I said, you are a born again, though. You are a born again. You can never get CCCs. This was, He said, I can never marry him. So you are a rich child of God. So the guy said, but how far? I said, very well. It was in his car that I first heard the song. He just played the song. You are the love of my life. I will trade you for silver and gold. I said, friend, you need this song. Because the love of your life has changed you. I didn't tell him. Sister moved on. She didn't have a car. She didn't enter his car. And let me add one more. She thought that she had a brother she wanted to marry you. And now using Jesus to cover up. Don't say, Pastor said it. Mm-mm. You only prefer the millionaire in America than the millionaire in Dubai. Mm-mm. Don't quote me wrongly. She did not have anybody. She said, no. She told me that day, I'd rather have somebody who has no job and wants to obey God than Fred. And true to what she said, my friend or my ex-friend has opened nightclubs. He still has a lot of money. And I said, no, bye-bye. It's 21 years. Same thing. She was wise. You are rich! No! She saw him as naked. May you see how God sees. May the world not blind your eyes. Now, before you get to your family gathering, and everybody is showing that you're not feeling bad, you've not accomplished what they've accomplished, you watch people's wedding, you want to marry next week, you start putting pressure on people. Did you mean you wanted to ask me out? Why have you not asked me? You start feeling pressure. What is wrong with you? What's wrong with you? You see your friends taking pictures in the snow. Say, I must go. You see somebody buy a brand new car. You enter Forex. You start doing Forex, Bitcoin, gold chain, farming, mining. I must get car. Let the plan of God be fulfilling for you. Are you there? You are naked. Learn to know who is really naked. Says, I can't tell thee to buy thee, or be gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness may not appear. Anoint your eyes, where I saw that thou mayest see. He's talking to Christians. Are you following what I'm saying? Anoint your eyes. 284, you are now blind. This is not you. This is not how you used to talk. You now want something badly. You want a car badly. You will do anything to get a car. We have seen Christians sleep with people to get money. You want it badly. A brother just buys a car in church. A brand new car. The next thing, you are greeting him. You never greeted him before. How are you? Bless you. Oh, are you okay? And then when you say, bro, get it gone. Shut up. I'll see you on Tuesday. Thief. You see a brother, fervent in the Lord, just doing well. Going great in his career. I love you, say. And then one comes. I say, I want you. Say, I'm yours. You are blind. You are blind. Jesus is not talking to unbelievers. He's talking to Christians. Can we take 19 together? As many as I love,
I rebuke. Go on. Chasten and be zealous. Want the right things. The same word. Take back your passion. Hallelujah. Somebody wrote me. You listen to last day of camp meeting. Keep your passion. Said he wept all night. Said you reminded me. The guy doing his master's or so abroad. Said you reminded me of what I used to be. Said now. I left the church where I was being celebrated. It was handing the sound or so. Said I knew this was not me. Said now. Said even though I have not won any soul yet, sir. But I'm taking it back. I've started listening to you all over again. Somebody had warned me, don't listen to that guy. He's too extreme. He said, that extreme is what I need now. You that everybody was looking at your zeal, you now exchange it for something as cheap as what? Money. Money. We met money here. Ah! Full-time ministry is full-time passion. How do I keep this full-time passion? I feed on the word daily. There's a difference between hearing teachings and feeding. Feeding means I meditate. I'm thinking. And I'm asking myself, Shego, what is this collecting you on? Shego, what is this changing you about? Shego, that's feeding. Before you feed others, feed on the word. Meditate day and night. Meditate day and night. Observe to do all that in Joshua 1:8. Meditate day and night, Psalm 1 verse 3. Give yourself wholly unto them, 1 Timothy 4:15, that your profit may appear unto all. Feed on the word. Don't just be doing assignments. Feed on the word. Are you following what I'm saying? Don't just be doing study group assignments. Don't just be doing LME assignments. Feed on the word. Every day. Do you have times where you go around your room and speak the word of God over your life? Do you have times? You are not preaching, you are not teaching. But you are preaching it to you. Shego is hearing the word of Shego. Even when you're on the pulpit as a preacher. When you are speaking, God told the people, be hearing it for yourself. Feed on the word. James 1:21. Laying aside all prudence, wisdom, nothingness, receive weakness, the gospel, the name of the soul. Therefore, reverend, he says, be doer of the word and not hearers only, receive your own self. If any be a hearer of the word only, he's like a man that beholds natural face in the mirror. He says, we're going in the way and forgets the manner of man that he was. Feed on the word. 2. Keep the right company. Listen. Company is everything. Now, company has changed from people that you see physically. No. It's people you interact with. People you listen to all the time. Company can be the movies you watch. Company can be the people that hang around you. People that are in your office that you are always paying attention to. Company can be people in your family that will influence you. Keep the right company. You can't get fire from a cold company. You can't. All of us need people that will stir us afresh to do the will of God. Keep the right company. Proverbs 13:20. The wise walk to the wise. The companion of fools perish together. It's a simple principle I told you in your church on Wednesday. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Say, do not be deceived. Evil communication corrupts good manners. If your bestie, you call somebody your bestie does not pray. Bestie doesn't study. Bestie doesn't come to the church. Bestie does not go for evangelism. Bestie will transform your life. Stop keeping secret friends. Who? We don't know. Secret friends. That you now say, you now let down your air talking to them. They'll just destroy you. And if I'm just talking to Pastor Samir now, you'll be talking the word. I like the company of Josiah. It's always free.
I'm always free with him or free with her. You're always fine. You'll just be, you'll finish yourself. Bestie, bestie. You are a pastor. Is that clear? You are a pastor. A woman of God. A man of God. A believer. Are you there? What kind of union is that? Going to a relationship with somebody who is what? Bestie. Get the right company. Get into the right activities on a daily basis. Here, right, I've told you before. Have something you do as ministry every day. Take pastor's post. Share it with somebody and fellowship around it. Take a teaching. Share with somebody, fellowship around it. Call up somebody, pray for the person. If you are about to sleep, pick your phone, pray for the sick. I'll say this to you. I may not be 100% perfect, but I can tell you boldly, in 26, 27, 28 years of my life, there's hardly a day I don't minister to somebody. You should, it keeps you on the edge. Holiday, honeymoon, vacation, office troubles, be on the, you know, I taught you this about being on the, can you remember this scripture? Be always ready to do something. There can never be spirituality without activities. Plan your daily fervency. What did I say? What did I say? Plan your daily fervency. Watch what you watch, or you will not like what we are going to watch. Watch what you watch. Watch it. Or you will not like what we are going to see, and what you will eventually see. I'll just use a few descriptions. I thought I'll go into more details, but let me just go very quickly. Look at Solomon and David. David didn't build the house of the Lord. But David's passion for the temple was unrivaled. Early will I rise up and seek thee, O Lord. Psalm 63 verse 1. Psalm 57 verse 8. Early. But we had Solomon who built the temple. We didn't see him there again. Go and get this teaching. I brought it here already, but time has gone. You see, I'll just read part of it for you. Lessons from David. I wanted to share part 4. I'll just go and get it immediately after this teaching. Is that very clear? I'll just share a few things. I said, Psalm 63 verse 1, Eli, Lord, I see the my toast for you. Despite being the king, with his busy schedules, teaching and preaching engagements, he found time for communion. He had morning devotion frequently. He studied and prayed. Many would have forgotten this tradition as soon as fame, name, and gold came. Since most of their prayers were for things, now they have the things. What is the use anymore? But not David. Psalm 57 verse 8. Awake up, my glory awake, psaltery and harp. I myself will wake early. He wasn't too busy serving God to seek him. No. We hardly know that we need to be more dedicated in leadership to our devotions, communion than we did. Now let's contrast with David's successor, his son, Solomon. This teaching is in to the young minister. But you can get it on my Facebook. Just type lessons from David. I think I'll start posting it from tomorrow. Solomon started with the right heart. 2 Chronicles 1:10. His request was unique. 2 Chronicles 1:11 to 12. He asked God not for things, said long life and not long life, said wisdom. But notice, he started with innocence, sincere. But watch what happened. He became great, known for knowledge. 2 Chronicles 9:23. Now watch.
known for depths. I wrote here, his YouTube channel was the most viewed around the world. His TV program was everywhere. Any country he entered, they say, ah, Pastor Chris, I was blessed by you. I get that in many airports. Oh, watch this. He even had the Queen of Sheba. 3 Chronicles 9:1-3 come to him. Astute and very famous, he attracted wealth, which is an honor. He seemed to be overblessed. Now watch what happened. He had said that the hand of the Lord should be upon his house, 2 Chronicles 6:20-21. Now, what now happened to him? We don't find him in that temple again. He started what he never continued. So what happened to him? In 2 Chronicles, right, his father had said in Psalm 84 verse 10, a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tent of the wicked. Now look at 1 Kings 11:1. Go there quickly. Solomon loved many strange women. It's not women that was really the issue. Even the woman was an issue. It was the strange desires. Strange. Strange. Look at verse 2, 1 Kings 11. Of the nations concerned which the Lord has said to Israel, you shall not go to them. Those were the ones he now liked. When your company is now the rich, the wealthy, the affluent, you will start liking strange things. You will start developing strange appetites. Sexual, money, desires, passion, comfort. In verse 4, when he was old, 1 Kings 11, his wife turned away his heart after other gods. His heart was not perfect with the Lord as was the heart of his father. He has strange gods. So I said here, you cannot rise above the influences around you. Solomon had nobody around him but corporate gems, politicians. Even some preachers that just liked his fame. He was now following idols. Objects of adoration. Suddenly, he could do anything. Kenneth Hagin said, I am cautious of anything that with the spirit of this world. And that should be for us too. So he said here, when you start loving things more than your quiet time, more than fasting and study, when you start getting things more into your time space, leadership should never get into our head. Solomon, of course, amended his ways, but we must not go back to his tracks. Are you there? Are you there? To keep the fire burning, look up everybody, is a daily thing. Do you hear me? Is that long? A daily thing. I posted a video by Bishop David Abioye where he said, Oral Roberts wrote a book when he was almost 80. I said, young man, take things easy, take rest. Said, the man is 80. He's asking you to rest. You too, you are resting. What an instruction. Someone asked me one day, say, Pastor, I'm just thinking, is there a time for vacation? I said, ah. What ministry have you done? You are yet to put together 20 people considering for 3 years. You want to destroy yourself. You are yet to have enough to go and rest. In fact, if you are here and those thoughts cross your mind, I'm sure you are struggling with your work. Vacation. Pastor Kumu is 80. He's doing 10 days evangelism. Pastor Adepo is 79 going to 80. Bishop Mike Okunko. Kenneth Hagin. Pastor Hagin. Kenneth Copeland is 85. This year. He's still teaching 8 hours. Still praying and fasting. After about 60 years in ministry,
You have not done 5 years.
You want to go on boat cruise. You cannot end well if you don't change that kind of mindset. May the Solomon spirit not enter your heart. You hear what I'm saying? All of us here, myself inclusive, we are young. We are small boys. We are myself inclusive.
Ah!
They still walk.
My people!
They still walk who?
Eh?
My doctor told me years ago, say, you know, because you have, you know, had ulcer then, he said, you know, you have to do this, you know, stop fasting. I said, sir, I can't. I said, I'll manage it. Then I used to do 200 and something every year. 250 days. 260 days. Say, stop it. Say, sir, I can't. I said, I'll manage it. I'll say, I'll be, I can't. It's too powerful, sir. Fasting is too powerful, sir. It's too powerful for me to amend it. I say I'll walk around it. Maybe the bree I used to do for 7 days, I'll make it 2 days. You know. So I say, you don't take water. I've never taken water before. I say you should not. For me, I've never. How would I? Don't say, if you are doing too many vigils, maybe you should have said, too many. Too many. What do you want me to be doing? Brethren, let's walk. Let's walk. You have to keep the fire burning. 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 Someone was telling me, G. Lake, Don G. Lake didn't take care of his body. I don't know. We have more information now. I said, but Don G. Lake, he lived better than many Christians who took care of their body, and their body are just useless. What is in your body? Makeup. Is it not makeup? Okay, you now kept that body till 90. So what did you do with the 90 years? You know, I remember when I was a soldier. Is that not what you do? Full-time ministry is daily devotion to the word, to prayer, wanting more every day. Every day. Look at me as I close. Don't deceive yourself. You see, don't replace fire with torchlight. If fire is going down, go and get fire. Did you hear me? Don't deceive yourself, oh. Don't deceive yourself. Don't change vigils into tongue stroke. Don't change vigorous Bible study into just hearing the word in the service. Don't fool yourself. Don't replace real fire with torchlight. Did you hear me? I told someone recently, last month or 2 months, I said, you are looking a lot more beautiful, but your spiritual life is ugly. Your spiritual life is ugly. Now you can open your cleavage unlike before. You're not thinking about it again. Now you are every new fashion style, you now have it. You're looking good. But you are spiritually ugly. Now you don't win souls again. You now bring dependents to church. People that you give money. You are finished. Jesus said, you are naked. You are miserable. That's what it means. Miserable. I'm not the one that said it. I said, you are looking beautiful. I told the guy, I said, you are now, I can see you have moved on. And you have moved on, really. I said, if you like, buy a private jet, land it here. That's not what I'm looking for. If I want to see private jet, I'll go to the hangars. Go and see them. I know where to go. When I come here, I want when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one, in one place, in one accord.
Suddenly,
there came a sound, not from the keyboard, not from the speaker, from heaven. May we not replace heavenly sound for noise from the keyboard. Sound from heaven, like a rushing mighty wind, filled all the house where they were seated. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and sat upon each of them. Not new designers, not new hairstyle, not makeup, not a new wristwatch, not a brand new car, not a house. Of course, people in that house could have those things. But what is the Spirit looking for? Fire on their heads. They were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues, and the Spirit gave them utterance. That is what we are looking for, sir. And that's what you should have. May you not give your life over to misery. You are laughing, but you are crying inside. You know, that's people's lives. You are doing it for the cameras. You are trying to go, I'm fulfilled. But inside, you are dying. Because this is not who you are. Full-time ministry is daily attending to spiritual things. So, this is the instruction you have now. On a daily basis, I'll close now. On a daily basis, I give myself to the things of the Spirit. On a daily basis, I minister the things of the Spirit. I feed on the Word. I feed on the Word. I keep the right company. If you want to know why you are the way you are, look at people around you. I'm not saying you can come to church and those are not people around you. That's why you are where you are. You've now started having new models. Your model has moved from Pastor Sommy to Mr. Clement Oklako, the CEO. Your model has moved from Shego Anoika because of his prayer life, because of the commitment to evangelism, to Mrs. Clementina Arokoko. Oh, the woman of the year, Times Magazine. What happened? You no longer say, my pastor said. You no longer say, the Holy Ghost said. You are now saying what the world is saying. That's not your lot. That's not your lot. Stand to your feet. Pray in tongues. Pray in tongues. Pray in tongues. Pray in tongues. Full time ministry. Full time commitment. Daily